The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, it's Pat and Stu, 888-727-BACK.
There
is always that for some reason, and nobody really knows why, but there he is.
Every day I kind of wish
there he is.
That the camera just shoots over there, and then there's just nothing, you know, every day. And then it never happens, though, you know?
That's disappointing that I'm here. Is that what you're saying?
Agreed.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we're on the same page for once.
I wasn't greedy.
Well, you know, so, I will say,
yes. No, I think Trump's job approval rating might be even lower than Jeffy's.
No, I don't think quite.
You don't think
no,
so?
I'm going to say no on that one. Okay. That is unconfirmed.
They're just showing approval rating was 33%. I'm not sure what poll that is, though. Now it says in some different poll, 43%.
That was 43% among white Americans, I think it was. Well, let's go through some of this, because this is kind of the first story we have today anyway. And this is, I think, a problem. They're talking here about a pivot. And the reports from the White House is that the White House has now tried to go down this road where they were being oh so conservative. And they've been frustrated by that. It hasn't worked. So now they're going to, you know, pivot to be more moderate and try to gain more moderate people. Obviously, I think that's I don't agree with the premise of the question whatsoever, that he has been conservative. I mean, there have been a couple things he's been conservative on. And by the way, I would say the things that have been most successful, I mean, obviously Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. It's been a real triumph for him. Throw in there some of the regulations. That is, I think, appealed to a lot of people. The EPA stuff has pissed off the left, but has definitely been accepted well among the right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been some things there that I think have been positive. But can he now pivot and get moderates is essentially the premise of this article by 538. And they go in there and go dive into the numbers. And I don't know if this – I hope the White House realizes that's not going to be easy. And here's the issue. It's not really that his approval rating is low. His approval rating is low. That's not a huge deal, right, at this point, because, you know, it's not good, but it's not terrible. The problem is on his disapproval side, and the disapproval side breaks down in an interesting way. For example, his approval rating, he's got 20% of the population that are strong approval. Think of those as hardcore Trumpers, right? Those are the Trumpers. 20%, they have, you know, whether that goes anywhere or not, we don't know, but I think 20% can be counted on to be there no matter what, okay? The issue there, and this isn't totally crazy, he's at about 36% approval overall by average. Now, the issue there is 16% somewhat approve. Okay, that's not a bad balance, right? You figure 16% are a lot of people in the audience. They're like, you know, he's done some good things. I'm not crazy about him, but all right, I'm on board. Okay, somewhat approve. So 20% hard approval, 16% soft approval for a total of 36% overall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the issue is on the other side, because right now he's at about 58% disapproval. And you say 58% disapproval is not a good number, obviously. However, that can change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can. But if you remember the approval ratings, it was about split. 20% hard approval, 16% soft approval. On the disapproval side, it is 10% soft approval,
or
47% hard disapproval. So 10% soft disapproval. I mean, like, I don't really like him. He's not great. I don't know, you know. But I would say I don't like him, but I'm not too hard on that. 47% is hard disapproval. Strongly disapprove. And the issue is, just like you can't really talk the 20% out of Trump, you know, you can't say, there's 20% of the people out there, you can't talk out of the Trump train no matter what. Right now, there's 47% of people you can't talk onto the Trump train. So if he wins everybody in the soft disapproval rating, that only gets him an extra 10 or 11%. Which gets him to about 47% overall. Gets him to about even. That's very difficult to do. In fact, he actually has more at risk. You figure if the people in the middle there that are either, I don't really like him, or I kind of like him. If those people are the ones that are convincible, he's got more at risk to lose than he has to gain. And that is the real problem. If he tries to pivot and grab those people who are on the soft disapproval side, he may well lose more people from the soft approval side. And that means he actually loses overall. That is not a good thing for Donald Trump. So can he pivot? Well, first of all, I don't want him. A, I don't agree with where you saying where they're saying he is. B, I don't want him to pivot to where they're saying he might go. And C, if he does try that pivot, it's probably not going to work. It's not an ideal situation. Obviously, neither of you care about that.
No, I mean,
it's okay. You know. It's all right. Hey, look, you're not going to care about every story, right?
I do care
about
it.
It's going to happen. All right? We do 2 hours. We have 5 hours of shows a day. We bring up a lot of stories. You're not going to care about everyone. You know? That's okay. That's all right.
I mean, we've made our feelings pretty clear on the Trump subject for a couple of years now, so.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I know.
Your strong support, I guess, then?
Well, I wouldn't call it strong or support.
But just the two words I use are the only two
you said. Made me mad today. When we leaked the letter from his little, the transcript with the Mexican leader.
About the local milk people?
I mean, it pissed me off.
Why? Why'd that piss
you off? He made it sound like milk people are, you know, below other people.
Well, and I don't even know who milk people are. Who are they?
We're
not.
Who are they? Who are milk people? That. Who are milk people?
People like me are milk people. Okay?
Well, if you're a person who you only have three words in your vocabulary, one of them is milk. You're a local.
He's talking about the people that deliver milk, the milkman.
That's not what he's talking about.
You know what? I don't think there are milkmen anymore. That's not a thing, is it?
No, he's not talking about local milk delivery people. He's talking about dairy farmers, apparently. That is what it was reported as. It said an apparent reference to dairy farmers. Local milk people.
Yeah, there's the local milk people.
And his
What was the quote again?
He said, and this is, by the way, not in this call with Mexico. It's called Australia. And what he was saying is he's having refugees come over, and he's saying they're going to be criminals. They were in prison. They're going to be criminals, and they come over here. They're not going to be good people like the local milk people. And that was the tenor of his comment, which was basically to say they're not going to come over here and be productive farmers. He's just an idiot.
So
in many ways,
the local milk people
language,
are good people.
He's an idiot.
Dairy farmers.
Yes, that's I think what he meant farmers. Was to say, hey, they're not going to come over here and contribute to society like our lovely dairy farmers. I think is what he was trying
to
say.
Why does that come to mind for you?
By the way, the craziest part about the biggest groups being hurt by his protectionist trade policies are farmers. They're getting killed by this because
he probably saw a story on the Amish dairy farmers getting blocked out of crossing state lines, and that's all he had in his mind was milk farmers.
That's kind of an old story.
Yeah, it is.
But if he happened to see it 10 minutes before the conversation, I would agree. He also went on to talk about how New Hampshire was just a drug-infested den, which apparently the senator from New Hampshire was not all that thrilled with afterwards. And he said he won New Hampshire, which he actually didn't. He lost New Hampshire. However, he did win the primary in New Hampshire, so perhaps that could be referring to.
This is why the words support and strong don't really apply in my feelings for Donald Trump.
Really?
Although, darn it, I want him to do well.
I do.
He's just not. Yeah, I don't think he's capable.
these stories that we bring up, you know, are designed to give you an actual accurate sense, not the CNN or MSNBC level view of Donald Trump, and also not the Breitbart InfoWars view of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. There's a big kind of place in the middle. It's where the truth almost always lies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I think, you know, we're one of the few shows that can kind of talk about that, I think, honestly, because Trump talks about certain things that I like, I have no allegiance to him as a candidate. I didn't vote for him. I don't, you know, I want him to succeed because I want the president to succeed, but I don't have any allegiance to him as a candidate. I don't feel the need to reflexively defend him, and I don't feel the need to reflexively attack him. Like, he's kind of just a public figure to me, you know? And so that is a good thing, I think, when you're talking about trying to make coverage decisions, because, you know, look, we've praised Trump on Gorsuch. We've praised Trump on the EPA. We've praised Trump on the FCC. We've praised Trump on how his words so far have done a good job pushing back illegal immigration. And again, I don't know if that's going to last, but so far, so good on that one. There have been several things that have gone. And we also absolved him from basically all responsibility when it came to the healthcare disaster. And we put that on Congress. So there have been things that we have defended Donald Trump on, and there's been a lot of media attacks, which is the easy one. I mean, it's easy to defend Trump because he's attacked by crazy reporters. That's easy. And we've done that a million times as well. Bottom line is, though, you have to look at the other side of this, too. He is losing support among Republicans. He is already has no support among Democrats, and he's getting trounced among Republicans. And the people are leaving from the Republican and Democratic side and going into the strong opposition part. And it's hard to leave there. Just like it's hard to get people who love Trump out of that area, it's hard to get people who hate him out of that area. And then you start working with a really narrow piece of the population to try to lock in and keep the Republican Senate and pass anything that's at all positive. So there's real risk here.
Yeah, We try to give him the benefit of the doubt, as you said. We try desperately. We want him to do well. I want him to succeed. I want America to succeed. But then you get the conversation that they originally said, they originally lied about the conversation with the president of Mexico, that it happened on the phone and he agreed to pay for the wall or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it was in person. They lied about the context of that. And then the transcript comes out, and it's like,
I mean, he basically tells him the wall. Look, I got to say things about the wall.
Just
but not
lie about the wall is basically what he's telling him. Just lie about the wall like I'm doing. I'm just lying to these people who really want the wall, but that's not, it's the least important thing in the world to me. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
It's unbelievable, except we knew it the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's why we didn't want the guy.
Again, we keep saying it's inconceivable. I don't think that word means what we think it means.
Yeah.
However, I will say, on this front, the president, this is a weird thing to say, but I'm going to try to say it right. The president basically should have the ability to BS to foreign leaders without us knowing about it.
Yes.
And the idea that we get a transcript private conversations with him talking.
I didn't even touch on that aspect of it. Yeah, and that's another really important part.
It is. And that's the side I'm sure every pro-Trump person will focus on today. Mm-hmm. But it is an actually legitimate complaint here. The bottom line is,
I love that. Later today, it'll be these leaks in the White House have to stop. Somebody's got it. Somebody's head has to roll. And they won't even address
the fact that
the facts in the leak.
But if you want to look at, again, this is a guy who says local milk people. So, I mean, I think we're stretching here to give him the benefit of the doubt. However, if you want to give Trump the best possible view here about that conversation, he's saying whatever he has to schmooze this guy in Mexico. It's not real. And you could say, again, my defense of him lying is accusing him of lying, but he's lying to them, not us. That's the good defense of Trump there. He's lying to Mexico. He'll say anything to Mexico. Who cares what Mexico thinks? And you might believe that spin on it. So it's not necessarily horrible, the conversation.
Well, it is, because at the end of it, he says, it's the least important thing,
right?
But it, but politically, it's one of the more important things because he knows he lied about it for 2 years.
Yes,
and he knows it's important to the people who voted for him.
But flip that
but
upside down.
It's not important to him.
I'm saying flip that and say instead he was telling the truth to the American people and lying to Mexico.
Yeah,
he's saying, look, it's not an important thing, but you gotta say it. You gotta say it. I think you're
right. He's lying to everybody.
I think you're right, and I know we're stretching here. But if you want to go pro-Trump here, there is a place to take it in which you say, look, he's BSing the Mexican leader. But more than that, these things should not come out. I mean, really,
yeah,
we should. I want the transcripts. I want to see them. I want all the information. We shouldn't have it. I mean, we really shouldn't have that transcript. And that's not a good thing.
I just found something that makes this day survivable, even with all this news.
Okay.
Spoons today? French IHOP, the IHOP French donuts.
French toast donuts?
Yeah. French toast donuts.
Yes!
French toast donuts.
Fantastic.
Yes!
Tell me that's not the greatest news you've ever received.
I mean,
tell me.
Yes!
Now, I mean, we got to have something, right? We got to have something.
It's better than finding out Trump wasn't bad-mouthing milk people, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is.
Now, what would you eat donuts with, typically, would you say, Jeffy?
You're not going to go die milk!
Go ahead. Do it. Let's hear it.
I mean, here, let me pretend I'm Stu. He already did. That was him.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's exactly right.
Now, IHOP French Toasted Donuts are the product you were discussing. They're brand new from IHOP. They came out a couple days ago.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very new. And so they have, I don't honestly know what to expect here. Because I've never
Do
heard of a French
syrup
Toasted
with these?
Donut. No.
Or, I hope so.
You don't?
Well, you might. But they also have toppings on them. Like, I saw one that had like cherries on top and like icing. It looked like a donut, but I don't know what a French toasted donut is. Do you take a donut and you dip it in egg?
I guess batter thing and then fry it? I don't know,
but we're going
to
find out.
I can't wait to find out.
This is an exciting one, guys.
Yeah, it is.
It is. On top of which, I don't think the International House of Pancakes makes anything that shouldn't be dipped in a syrup.
You may very well be right on that, because I'm just looking at it as it has, you don't dip donuts into syrup. Typically.
But you could.
You could. I mean, it wouldn't be bad tasting, but it's not like the typical mm-hmm. thing that you put. There right. are maple donuts mm-hmm. as well. Typically, you wouldn't dip it in syrup. And these have, gushing amounts of, cherries or strawberry toppings.
I mean, is that why we're bringing it up? Is that...
I don't know. Pat just looked ahead.
No, I just looked ahead because I was getting so depressed about all this Trump stuff and found something very, very exciting.
Yes,
all right.
That is exciting.
888-727-BECK. We also have, we talked about this on radio some, Al Gore's home devouring 34 times the electricity as the average U.S. household. I mean, this guy's been a hypocrite and a lying charlatan and just one of the biggest hoaxers in world history for so long now. And he still hasn't corrected it.
No. Nope.
Just for aesthetics, you would think he would fix this.
Well, I think that's what he
right?
did, though.
Yeah.
I think what,
yeah, that's
he,
what
did
he did
was I fit it, he fixed it, showed that he put
but
some solar panels up.
But you're using 34 times the electricity as everybody else?
Well, what's your...
Come on.
What typically... Jeffy... So typical, Pat. I mean, he just can't help but lie about these things. He didn't even include the fact that, 10% of the energy, or no, 5.7% of the electricity he uses in his home comes from green sources.
Those dumb solar panels that he put on the house?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. He did it to aesthetics. So now, let's be honest about it. It's worked for 10
it
years.
Sure has.
Yeah.
Since he did
until it. Until the movie came out again.
Right. Like, now look at this.
Look
He's
at
got plenty
place.
Of room on that house to put more solar panels. And I don't know. That's a big house. How many square feet?
10,000 square feet.
10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So 10,000 square feet, but he could obviously fit more solar panels on that roof.
But you don't need to. He's already getting 5%.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. He put these up here to shut us up until
absolutely.
This next report came
exactly
out.
Exactly what he did.
Yeah, because it did work aesthetically. Like, all right, because
I
remember thinking, okay, he got caught. Now he's going to have to fix it. And then he fixed it. He put solar panels up, and he did a bunch of stuff. And you're like, all right, well, now we're not going to catch him at that anymore. No, wrong. Only 5.7% of the electricity is actually coming from the solar panels. And he's actually seemingly upped his energy usage. I mean, he's gone
up. Yeah, sure has.
He's now at 230,000 kilowatt hours. I did this with my home and compared it. Now, my home is not as big as Al Gore's home. However, obviously, you could break that down per square foot. So what is your kilowatt hour per square foot? Mine was 64% lower than Al Gore. And again, I'm a climate denier, right? And, you know, basically proudly so. I mean, it's not an actually accurate title, but like, I'm in that group. I mean, I'm an absolute skeptic.
Yeah, he would absolutely say you.
100% he would call me a climate denier. And as I talked about earlier, I have never in my life made one decision based on energy that had anything to do with the environment. That does not enter into my thinking at all. Now, I will do certain things that I think will help me save money. I will do certain things that will certainly make me more comfortable in my home. I would buy a Tesla garage wall battery thing if it was price, you know, if it made sense money-wise. Like, I'm not adverse to the technology. If it would be better, I would get it. I want to buy a Tesla, for example. I've said that before because they're just awesome cars. Not because it has nothing to do with the environment. They're just awesome cars. Here's a guy who has dedicated his life, supposedly, to fixing catastrophic global warming. And he can't even come close.
He doesn't believe it.
To the energy usage I have.
Nope.
Which is a person who never makes a decision based on climate.
Nothing. You can tell, by the way, where he put those solar panels on that house. That's all about. It's all about
the overhead.
It's all about the
looks,
crowd.
Right? Yep.
Because it's where you can't really see it. It's out of the way. And because if he really wanted to put them on those other rooftops facing the same direction,
you could.
He could easily
could.
Create more energy.
And what
but
I,
it wouldn't look as nice.
What I love about this is. This was inspired by the email that went around for several years, which he did nothing about for quite a while. But there was the email comparing one house to another. And one house was George Bush's in Crawford, which was amazingly energy efficient. I mean, he had thermal water that was all net. I mean, he recycled his water. He captured rainwater and
geothermal
heating and all kinds of stuff. And then, on the other hand, you had Al Gore, who was doing nothing, and except for using 20 times the energy of the average American. And then, a couple of years later, he finally got tired of hearing that. And it's interesting, because even when you Snopes that email, comes up true. Now, Snopes almost always declares these things from liberals false. This one, flat out true. So he really is using this energy. He really doesn't give a rat's ass about the environment, because if he believed what he says, he wouldn't be doing this. If you believe there is catastrophic global warming, it's committing suicide to act like this in your life, right? You're killing the planet.
Absolutely. You do not have
he
two
homes. Doesn't believe it. It is only for money and power.
You have to believe that. I mean, and so they go through and talk about, you know, basically what he does is he signs up for this situation where you can spend a little bit more on your electricity for green sources. So that's going to be his justification here. If he does answer these claims, that's what he'll say. Now, as Alex Epstein mentioned, I always get it wrong, mentioned on the show, radio show earlier, it's basically, you're not getting different energy. Like, they're not saying, oh, this is the energy. Wait, hold on. That house has the windmill energy.
Right.
Send that energy to him.
Right.
It's all the same energy. It's just generated a little bit differently. So what Alec had a great way of explaining that was, like, if you're a rich person and you're taking a boat across the Atlantic Ocean and you have a slew of lower class people, what Gore is doing is he's saying, I am going to pay more so that all of the negative environmental effects go to all the poor people below me. So, like, I'm just absolving myself of the actual usage there. And what I'm then saying is, I didn't take a boat across the ocean. It was all those people, and I just hopped aboard. And, like, so that is, like, that's just a mind, you're just mind-screwing yourself at that point. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's not a real argument. But, you know, this is how he gets out of it.
And sadly, none of his arguments are real.
No.
We've seen that many, many, many times. All right. The fact is, your phone carrier, your current phone carrier, the one that you're using right now, it sucks. And here's why.
I've noticed that.
They take some of your bill and they give it to Al Gore to spew his nonsense and pad his pocketbook.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I'm not a fan. Are you a fan?
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan of that.
Luckily, we have Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile has all the stuff that you need from your phone company. It's got a high-speed 4G LTE data. It's got the great prices. You can keep your phone number. You can do all the things that you need to do. So the service is there, and that's an important thing. It's the first step, honestly, because I'm not going to get a half-assed phone company because it's going to help my causes. I'm just not that guy. However, if I can help my causes, I can take money away from the left and get all the great service. There's not really a lose situation
here. No, it's really, really fantastic. They'll take 5% of your monthly bill that you pay Patriot Mobile, and they'll put it to a really good cause that you say, hey, I want it to go to the NRA, or I want it to go to the Heritage Foundation, or FreedomWorks, or whoever it is. So call Patriot Mobile. They'll even buy out your current contract. We've told you the details on that a million times.
Yeah,
$500 per line,
$1,500
per account.
That's great. And you can obviously keep your phone number. Call now, and they're going to waive that $35 activation fee. Mm-hmm. When you use the promo code PATENTS2, and you better use that promo code. I will not live in a country in which people are signing up for Patriot Mobile and paying that $35
activation fee. We'll track you down like the dirty dog you are.
We will. We'll be at your home, and we're going to send Jeffy. Yeah, and you're not going to like it at all, because Jeffy's awful.
He could eat your entire family. Your entire family. You don't
Why would I eat the whole family?
We'll get hungry. I mean,
yeah, because when you get hungry, sometimes that'll happen. Give him a call. 1-800-PATRIOT. It's 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Or go to patriotmobile.com/patandstew. It's patriotmobile.com/patandstew.
All right. It's Pat and Stu, 888-727 back. LA just won the 2028 Olympic Games.
That's
Summer Olympics.
Quotes. Won. What are they winning? They're winning the opportunity to spend lots of money to host sports that people don't really like all that much.
Well, it's really interesting because this used to be a really prestigious thing. They used to say this host city would make a lot of money. Everybody knows that's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that it's nothing but hassle and expense. And then you have these incredible venues that nobody ever uses again and all of that stuff. But one of the good things about L.A. is you probably don't have to build
it's
much
ready
of anything.
Made.
It's already there.
Yeah, it's true.
Everything's already there. So they don't have that expenditure. I don't know if they'll be upgrading things, but... You know, that's usually what happens. Well, this is a good chance, a perfect opportunity to upgrade the Coliseum. Yeah, we'll just upgrade the Coliseum with a $500 million bond.
You know what, Pat? And as long as we're doing that, the infrastructure around the Coliseum, some of the roadways, on-ramps, off-ramps, parking, we need to upgrade all
more hotels.
Well.
I mean,
this is amazing, though. They're supposed to spend over $5 billion to make this happen. $5 billion.
Even with all the crap they built?
Yep.
The Olympic Committee's giving them some... is that from the Olympic Committee?
Let me read it to you.
They have to come up with that, right?
Yeah, 2028 might seem like a long way away, but it'll sneak up on you. In the last place anyone wants to be in a city that has pledged billions, the city that has pledged billions, over $5 billion in LA's case, to stage a boondoggle that will almost certainly suck all sorts of tax dollars and private resources out of the real economy and flush them down a unisex toilet in the basement of the edifice complex. As Garrett Quinn explained for Reason in 2015, it's virtually impossible for a city to break even when hosting summer games.
Yep.
The expected revenue is around $6 billion, and the gate is split between the host city and the IOC, which makes 70% of the television revenues as well.
So, my gosh. The IOC gets 70% of the TV revenue?
Mm-hmm. I would rework that
deal. Yeah.
So before the first athlete gets bounced for failing a drug test, L.A. is already $2 billion in the red, assuming the bidder's cost estimate is correct, which it almost certainly isn't. The Beijing Games cost $40 billion, and the L.A. version cost
the London
version cost $20 billion. Russia pointed up $50 billion for the poorly provisioned Sochi game. Sochi?
Yeah, Sochi.
Sochi. I can't remember how to pronounce it. And Brazil had consistently lied about how much its real games cost. Officials say $13 billion, while outside analysts say it's actually $20 billion.
In London, they spent $20 billion, but a lot of that was spent on security, which they still are. I mean, they use that as an excuse to build up security. I mean, okay, but...
And they need it. I mean, they need it.
I know.
So anyway, I love the Olympic Games. I know you guys aren't as big a fan, but I mean, like there's them. Just it's a no-win situation now.
Yeah,
it's a no-win
it's
thing.
It's too expensive. I mean, look, if you're gonna put the
it's games... a hassle for the residents. I mean, yeah. LA's already jam-packed on every freeway, every surface street. The traffic already sucks. Now you're gonna bring tens of thousands more people in to see these Olympics and try to get to venue after venue. I mean, the locals, this is going to be a nightmare for them.
Well, and remember, too, like, L.A. is a city. But, I mean, if you've ever been to L.A. and spent any time there, I mean, going 5 miles down the road is a 40-minute adventure.
Right.
I mean, it's not...
It's how bad the traffic
it's
is.
It's just terrible. You can't get anywhere. And, you know, I think, like, your best chance is an L.A. type of city that has all these venues already. You don't have to build much of anything. You have to always expand the infrastructure, though, which is a huge cost. But it's just, you know, honestly, I would never bid for another Olympic Games. Well, I'll send some athletes. You want some athletes? Yeah, we'll send some athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming, I mean, I wouldn't want the government paying for it, honestly. You know, let some sponsors pay for it or whatever. We'll send a couple athletes if you want them. Yeah, sure. We'll kick all your asses in another country. But don't bring them here.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, there's an argument to be made that at least L.A., in theory, is one of the better cities to handle something.
There's also, I mean, we've argued it before, but that there's a strong argument to not even just do the Olympics anymore.
I mean,
in today's world, with access to worldwide media every day, there's no need to all come together for 2 weeks.
I mean,
so we can, you know, live in Olympic City and have sex. Well, wait a minute. Maybe there is a reason. Oh,
you're
not.
Thinking about the Olympic Village sex? That's the thing that he thinks about when the Olympics come on. What
does.
A surprise.
It's time to, we should buy a couple houses, though. We could Airbnb those bad boys for the Olympics, make some cash.
Yeah, you would, except L.A., I mean, if you want to...
It's a big city.
You want to buy a 700-square-foot thing for $1.5 million. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Good luck with that.
For a weekend coming up in 2028. This is how Jeffy got to the level he's at.
You know, in Salt Lake City, when they hosted the... 2002, right? 2002 Winter Games. We had, I lived there up until 2001 and then left in 2001. And so I had 5 years of getting ready for the Olympics and the construction on the freeway system and everything they built and the hotels and all the stuff that they tried to get ready for the Olympics. I went through all the hassle. And then was able to receive none of the benefits of it afterwards.
Oh, great.
Because by then I moved. So
that's awesome.
It was great.
But again, you can't there's no way to get the benefit. If you hassle yourself for multiple years, 2 weeks of anything isn't going to give you enough benefit. There's just no way it can pay off for the average resident.
When you look at what they did in Utah, they use the facilities year-round. They've done some pretty cool things. Up in Park City, they have the, you know, the slides and the luges and all that stuff they've turned into rides.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people use
them. You do the best you can.
Yeah.
You do the best you can with that stuff. I mean, you know, it's not, I mean, look, I think there's an argument to be made that it's not about that. It's not about trying to be profitable. There's this prestige issue, and if your city wants to pay for it, and I don't agree with it, but I mean, you can make those arguments, I suppose. It's usually not a financial win. And they try to make it seem like it is, and it never really, really winds up that way. Though Utah, I think, was pretty well managed once Romney got a hold of it, and
he really turned it around, a pretty
good job in comparison to other cities.
Was a mess when he took it over, too. I mean, it was a mess. There was
bribery
corruption. And prostitution and all kinds of weird things going on there.
Well, you just offended Jeffy.
Well, I mean, was that...
Well, let's take a break on that note. 888-727-PEC is the phone number. Back with more in a second.
I don't think you know what a mess is.
No,
that's a mess.
I think it's kind of messy. Some kind of understanding.
I didn't tell Pat about this break beforehand because, you know, I knew what he would do. He would try to shut it down. He'd try to hold back the truth to you because that's who he is. I'm sorry, Pat. I'm just going to tell him. I might as well.
All right.
Pat is one of these people who would like to tell you that the Earth isn't dying. Okay? Pat's one of these.
Yes,
he's called
yes,
a climate denier. Okay?
Right.
And that's why he didn't tell you about Earth Overshoot Day. Earth Overshoot Day is the most important day on your calendar. You might say, hey, what about Christmas? What about tax day?
Easter.
Thanksgiving, Easter.
Fourth of July.
Yeah, but no. It's Earth Overshoot Day. Did you know, Pat?
I don't know what that is, Stu. I wasn't hiding it. I'm just completely unfamiliar with Earth Overshoot Day.
We use 1 year of resources in 7 months. And Earth Overshoot Day represents the day that we've used all the resources for the year.
May I ask
in that year?
Who decides how many resources we need during the course of the year?
The Earth does.
The Earth does. Duh.
How about another one? You got any other comebacks there, Pat?
Yeah. I do.
7 months. An entire year's worth of resources in 7 months. Okay? You know what that means?
That means we're not using as many as I thought. I thought we were gobbling up like... Because we've used the equivalent of two planets for this one, we were told by somebody.
That's basically the same stat.
Recently, it's the same deal,
right? Yeah, and here's the thing. Okay. For the next 5 months, this planet will have no natural resources.
Except for
there will be no fossil fuels.
That's not the case.
There will be no water. There will be no sunlight. There will be no wind. There will be no minerals. There will be no food. Are you?
Let him finish, Pat. Don't cut him off.
Thank you,
Pat.
Thank you, Jeffy.
Don't cut him off.
I hope you listened to us and went to my Patriot Supply so you have some food stored up, because there's not going to be any at any stores.
After today.
Mm-hmm. It's Earth Overshoot Day. Now, once January comes, we'll be okay for a few months. Okay? Well, maybe another 7 months we'll be able to be okay. Mm-hmm. But because of people like you overusing resources, at some point, this broadcast is just going to turn off because there's no more electricity. We've used it all up. The entire globe is about to go into blackout mode later today, and we will no longer be able to warm people, to cool people, to feed people, to give people water, to build new homes, get in your vehicle and go from location to location. Hospitals will not be open for 5 months.
Let him talk, Pat. Don't cut him off.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeffy. Thank you. Are you done?
Are you done?
Are you done, sir?
No. I haven't even started yet.
I can't get a word in here. I can't. I'm just going to give up because I can't get a word in.
That's
embarrassing. But you know the truth out there, people. How do they even come up with this?
I think you're going to find none of that's going to happen.
No, it's not. Well, none of it is going to happen.
I don't know. How do they decide today is the day?
Well, to be fair, they didn't. It was yesterday. So
it was yesterday.
So we should be black right now.
Okay, it was yesterday and everything's fine.
That's right.
So.
Well, Earth Overshoot Day was August 2nd. So today's the day we overshoot.
Right.
Okay. We're overshooting right now.
Yes, we are.
We're using more of a planet than we have.
We should be dark right
now. Hey, Pat.
We're now eating up Mars as well as Earth.
Thank you. Hey, Pat, want some fish sticks? You can't have them because fish are gone. Okay? This says right here, it's the point where the amount of natural resources, think trees, fish, and water, humanity takes from the Earth, reaches the total that can't be regenerated over the entire year. We are effed. Effed!
How do they make that determination? I'd love to know. Because it doesn't say anywhere in that story, does it?
No, of course not. I mean, you know, look at some obvious, they're saying that this is the amount we should use. They're saying that the regenerating thing, like, we're cutting into 0.8% of global fish. But again, what are they saying? They've said this forever. Go back and if you watch Wonderful World of Stew the past couple of seasons, we've had these clips called awful excerpts from awful books. And we've had featured Jeffy as Hillary Clinton reading from Hillary Clinton's book, which, I mean, I honestly didn't even know it was you, to be honest. The acting was incredible on that particular piece. But I had another one where I read from Silent Spring, the book from the 60s or 70s, where they talk about how, you know, DDT is killing all the animals, there's not going to be any fish left, and we just read excerpts from it. And you go through this and you realize they predicted all this crap a long, long, long time ago, 50 years ago almost now. I mean, 50 years they've been saying the same freaking thing over and over and over and over again. None of it has come true. It's gone the exact opposite direction, and yet they still claim these
things. They've never been right on any of it.
It's so amazing.
They haven't been right on temperature. They haven't been right on resources. They haven't been right on what's going to happen to the climate. They haven't been right on increased and more intense, more frequent hurricanes, tornadoes. None of that stuff has been correct.
But
none of it.
Other than that, they're doing well, though.
But other than that, they're right on everything, right? It's worse than they even said it was.
They're right on all the things except for the things that they've said.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it.
Which is pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's not that bad. Also, apparently, Tom Brady is going to play until he's like 73 years old. Mm.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, tonight's the night, right? We got NFL action.
Yes. NFL action tonight. Yeah.
What channel is it on? Is it on NFL Network?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the Hall of Fame game. The Cowboys?
Cowboys and
Arizona.
Okay. And the Cardinals. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Although none of the players you'll see on the field will actually be on the team.
By the time this first season game rolls around.
But you know
I don't even
who
care.
Cares?
I don't
it's
care.
Freaking
it's football. Yeah.
Football.
They claim that obviously they picked Dallas because they're putting Jerry in. Jerry's going to be inducted
into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So they wanted to do
just,
the Cowboys.
Let's be honest about it. Absurd. I mean, look.
Let's
be honest about it.
I don't know.
It's absurd.
He paid, what, $150 million for the Cowboys, and now they're worth $4 billion? Put him in. He's to help
that. Nothing to do with – that's just the NFL being good. That's not a him accomplishment.
Put him in the hall.
I mean,
they're going to.
Give him a corner.
But he's won, what, two Super Bowls while he's been – two, right?
Two, right?
Two. Yeah. I mean –
I mean, and again, he's had 20 years of zilch.
He's also had 1-15 records when he's been the owner.
That's true. I was looking at Tom Brady's stats.
I'm not an anti-Jones guy.
I'm not either.
I think he's fine. But
I think it's a decent point to say why is he going into the Hall of Fame?
Why is he better than the other owners of his era?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, other than him being more notable in the media, like what is he? I don't know.
You could make a better case probably for Kraft.
Oh, Kraft is, an absolute 100% Hall of Fame owner.
I mean, look, I was looking at Brady's stats, Tom Brady alone, alone, I mean, if you put up against Kraft total, but Brady alone, 237 games, 63.8 completion percentage, 61,582 passing yards, 456 TDs, 152 interceptions.
But that's a great ratio.
12-time Pro Bowler, 5-time Super Bowl champ, 2-time MVP.
He's had an okay career.
As much as it pains me to say it, I mean, it's hard to make an argument he's not the best quarterback of all time.
No kidding.
It's hard to at this point.
Especially with the talent he's had around him. You know?
Yeah, which
he has not had exceptional wide receivers.
No.
Except for Moss.
I mean, I think you could put, Welker and
Welker
Edelman
was good.
And they did their roles.
But Welker, when he left, was not the same.
No, but he was also could barely walk.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, he got a concussion every 3 days.
All right. 888-727. Back more patents, too, coming up.
Oh, good. I like that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's often been noted that it is the greatest show ever done on television. And who am I to argue? I mean, I can't
come up with a coherent argument against
it. You can't. No one can. So, I've never heard the argument against it. There are some stories that Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
Well, today is a very special day.
Is it?
It is. It is not only is it National Watermelon Day.
Is that how you're supposed to say that in two different words?
Yes.
Water.
Don't worry about the way I say watermelon. That's the way it's supposed to sound. It's Watermelon Day.
All right. Okay.
It is also National Grab Some Nuts Day. So.
Oh my, that could turn
go
ugly.
Ahead. And,
that could turn ugly very quickly.
Have a good day.
What? I mean,
have
really?
A good day.
Is this
really also
that?
Good?
Did you invent the day?
I did not, but I wish I had.
Okay.
I wish I had. Also, Anthony Scaramucci.
Yes.
Kicked out of Scaramucci,
will you do the fandango?
Fortunately, on Friday, we're going to get a live Facebook feed of him telling us his side of the story.
I am interested to see what he's going to say.
I know.
But it's going to be kiss ass, right? It's going to be 100%. Trump is great. Mm-hmm. I just feel so much pleasure for having served at his pleasure. I love
even
him.
For 10 days.
Even for 10 days. You know, we're
everything I ever dreamed.
Yeah, that's what I think he's going to do.
He's also going to say he was kidding about whatever you said about Priebus and all
and,
that stuff.
It's a Facebook event, and it's going to be produced by Bill Shine.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting,
News,
actually.
Is
Bill Shine working for Facebook now?
No, he's a Scaramucci guy. They were at dinner together the night that the whole
New York thing
was
there. Oh, yeah, he was
there.
That's out. Right. Yeah, that's why.
Shine was
kind of disappointing.
All right, so SMU here in Dallas, Texas, Southern Methodist University.
Yes.
They told the kids... These young kids, every year put on a display for their 9/11 event, and they put out 3,000 flags
sure.
In the center of campus. That's where everybody gathered on 9/11, and they remember, and they have prayer, and, you know, it's a wonderful day for
Very
them.
Very cool, yeah.
Please don't say it. Please don't say that's being protested now. Please don't say it.
Part of the letter that SMU sent back to the group saying that, hey, we're not canceling you, but you can't do it in the center of campus like that. That's too many people. Use the center of campus like that word. And they said, look, we respect the right of all members of the community to avoid messages that are triggering, harmful, or harassing.
Come on, no.
Now, they changed. They did come along and change the wording the next day and removed the... And they said, look, the policy has been updated to better reflect this balance and to remove the poor wording regarding triggering and harmful messages. They did take the triggering out.
So their point, though, was really, you know, you can't have it because people might be offended by you remembering people who died.
Too many people. Yep. Too many people in the center of campus. And it's that's where everybody gathers. You can look. We've got a place for you.
Great.
In the back.
Yeah, of course.
No problem.
Who would be upset by remembering the victims on 9/11?
Muhammad Atta.
Yeah, but he's no longer with us. We lost him. We lost him.
Oh, man.
I don't even regret that. We lost him. And we're glad. We're better off without him. But seriously, is that not to offend Muslims? Because I don't think Muslim Americans are offended. Those who are not extremists or terrorists are not offended by a 9/11 memorial.
The governor has chimed in, asking them, you know, what's up? What's the deal? And, you know, really, I mean, I guess they can do what they want, right? They're a university. They're letting the event take place.
I mean, that's where George Bush's library is. For the love of heaven.
That's
the guy who was president during 9/11. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
AAA727-BECK is the phone number. This is one of the truly most amazing stories you'll ever read.
It sure is.
The first time I saw people line up outside the bakery near my apartment in Venezuela, I stopped to take photos. How crazy. A literal bread line. Then true hunger crept into where I lived. People started digging through the trash at all hours, pulling out vegetable peelings and soggy pizza crusts and eating them on the spot. That seemed like rock bottom. Until my local bakery started organizing lines each morning, not to buy bread, but to eat trash. People waited for their turn to hunt through black bags of bakery garbage. A young woman found a box of muffin crumbs. A teenage boy focused on finding juice containers and drinking whatever remained. This is a story from Hannah Dreyer. She was a reporter for the AP who went to Venezuela, I think in 2014, to kind of cover what was going on there. Finally was forced to leave this week. It had gotten so bad that she could no longer, and she had gone through a mugging, she had gone through what she believed was another mugging, but was actually she was being detained by corrupt police officers. It is one of the craziest stories. It's on my Facebook page if you go there. It's entitled Departing AP Reporter Looks Back at Venezuela's Slide. It's a really interesting story. I feel like it's one of the stories, the collapse of Venezuela. It's been a story we haven't done a good enough job yet really covering. I know Glenn did a big chalkboard on it maybe last night. We haven't really hit it too much on radio. We've hit it a little bit here. But it is one of the biggest stories in the world. And it is the type of story that shows really what we've been talking about for a really long time, that these policies lead to destruction. Destruction of civilization is really what socialism leads to. Katarina Hall is with us. She is has really been covering this quite a bit. And thank you for coming on the show with us, Katarina.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a situation that is so ugly because, and I don't know whether it's just that we just have disinterest of people, disinterest in places that aren't here, or if we, you know, the media certainly has some friendliness to some of the policies that have been implemented in Venezuela. Why isn't this capturing the world's attention?
I just think that, well, at the beginning, it's been going on for so long that I think it's kind of fallen off people's radars. Right now, I'm currently in Guatemala City. This is where I live. And at the beginning, it used to be this great thing, like, oh, maybe this is going to spread to the rest of Latin America. But it's just been going on for months, for years. And I think it's not news anymore for people. It's the norm now in Venezuela to see people hungry, to see people lacking medicine, to see people fighting on the street. And I just don't think it's getting the attention it deserves.
This is one of the things. Can you kind of bring us back to, we all remember Hugo Chavez. We remember celebrities kissing up to him and saying what an amazing thing we remember he had going on. Michael Moore talking about how incredible their policies were and how they were bringing up and taking people out of poverty. Can you take us back to that period? And how did we get from that, which wasn't really true at the time, obviously, but certainly were better times, to where we are now?
Well, so when Chavez came into power, he came in as the revolutionary warrior. He was the person that came in trying to save the people, you know, from capitalism, from the United States, from the he was big on anti-U.S. rhetoric, and people believed him. Here in Latin America, a lot of people tend to believe that. We've had a lot of issues. But over time, Maduro consolidated his power. He started taking away private businesses. He started taking away freedom of speech for the people. He started taking away the right to protest. And little by little, he started building this empire around him. He got full control of the army. He got most politicians being corrupt. So what happened was that it became a kind of dictatorship. And then it got help from places like Cuba. And that made it even worse and more militarized.
It really is incredible that people even entertain these ideas anymore, because they've been so destructive for so long. You used to work at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which is an organization that we actually helped us on the Fox News documentary about communism. And I remember as we were talking about that back in the day, that was, when did that air? 2011, something like that. And I remember at that time, people looked at that as sort of this historical look back, like, look at these things that have happened in history. And you forget places like North Korea, places like Cuba, Venezuela as well. People are really going through these torturous circumstances right now, and the collapse is happening right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. You know, it's not only Venezuela. We've seen things, similar things happening, socialism being implemented. We saw how the Soviet Union went. We see how North Korea is doing right now. The people there are starving as well. We see how Cuba's doing. I was recently doing research in Cuba, and let me tell you, as much as I read and researched Cuba, nothing prepared me for what I saw there. And you know, what's even worse is at places like my own home country of Guatemala. A couple of weeks ago, there's a protest here about people that saying that Chavez was great and Maduro was great and that they wanted it to implement a similar regime. It just seems like people are misinformed about what is actually going on.
On that note, because we're completely misinformed on at least some of it, the election itself, I mean, what it's being reported on kind of generally is Maduro trying to basically take and wrestle control in a sort of final way. Like, this is, there's been this sort of game where we have elections and there's a democratic element. But if this goes through, really all of that, even the appearance of it, is over. Is that the right way to look at this?
Yes. So let me give you a little kind of the gist of it. So Maduro's trying to dismantle Venezuelan legislature. He's rewriting the constitution and replacing democratically elected representatives with the members of his own socialist party. So what this means is that he's achieving more dictatorial power. There was a vote on Sunday that called for Venezuelans to come cast a vote in order for him to install a new constituent assembly. But what's going to happen if he's able to do this? He's going to dissolve the National Assembly, which is run by the opposition. This would allow him to make any political changes that he wants. He will be able to rewrite the constitution, giving him more power. And most likely, his term is supposed to end in 2019. If he gets this power, he'll be able to call off the presidential election and remain in power. And the last part of it is that he wants to establish what he calls the Truth Commission. And what this is going to do is persecute political opponents. I mean, this started 2 nights ago already. He arrested 2 political opposition leaders. One of them had just been released a couple weeks ago from jail, and he did not give a notice or anything. He just arrested them again. So what we're going to see is Maduro in power.
Does he seem to have the military behind him?
Yes, the military since the beginning. Well, it all started with Chavez. The military was behind Chavez, and that's how he became a great leader, or, well, a big leader, because he's not great. But he gained the military power, like a lot of other dictatorships in Latin America. So right now, the military is Maduro's biggest weapon.
It's really an incredible story, and now we've come to the point where, really, whether he gains control or not, the country's really been destroyed. I mean, it's very difficult to reverse this at this point. Is the picture that we were describing with the AP reporter coming back, is that the accurate picture of what's really going on there? Is that the normal life for everyone now, searching for food and that sort of level of struggle?
Yes. There's food shortages. I mean, it all comes back to Venezuela's management of its economic policies. Well, in general, socialism has a general economic policy that, you know, it's all centralized. Mm-hmm. But Venezuela took it to the extreme. They put most of their economy in oil, and oil prices went down. So they had nothing else for income. And what happened? Of course, food shortages happened. People are starving. Inflation went up. They can't buy anything with their money. Bolivars are not worth anything. I mean, take right now, you guys reported on this, I mean, The Blaze, and it says that the fake currency from the online game World of Warcraft is worth more than the Venezuelan money.
That's unbelievable. So what can be done? What are people, are there people out in the streets every day and night protesting this? Are they trying to overthrow this government?
Yes, I mean, to begin with, the vote on Sunday was illegal. Maduro had no way to actually do that. And there's confusion on the vote because they said that the electoral council of the ones that counted the vote said that 43 of the population showed up, around 8 million people. But the National Assembly said that less actually showed up. And people are seeing this vote as the greatest sham in Venezuela's history. So what are people doing to answer this? The United States is already putting sanctions on Venezuela. They put sanctions on Maduro and on other 13 government leaders. And other countries such as Mexico, Colombia, and Panama have followed what the United States did too. Other countries have been denouncing the vote, such as the EU and a lot of Latin American countries, including Guatemala. So what we should do and continue to support the Venezuelan people who are out there on the streets fighting for the right, fighting for their vote, their right to vote. They did not want this referendum. They wanted a real democratic election. So they're going on the streets, and the international community, such as we are, we should support them. We should be able to give them as much support, give them as much attention as they need.
Katarina Hall, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about this. Before you leave, can you give me one piece of information? What is the correct way to pronounce Managua, Nicaragua?
It's Managua.
And how does it? So if you say them together, how does it go?
Managua, Nicaragua.
That's pretty close.
Pretty close.
It's
pretty close.
It's similar.
Okay.
It's similar.
All right. Pat is an expert at pronouncing that particular city, and we just wanted to make sure we had some idea that it was accurate.
Yeah.
So thank you
Thanks,
very much, Katarina. That was great.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Listen to this, Pat. This is the government of Venezuela blames the U.S. and right-wing businesses, of course, for the economic collapse. But most economists say it actually stems from government-imposed price and currency distortions, which is a shocker. They often seem to be a direct line between economic policy and daily hardship.
What?
One week, the administration declared that eggs would now be sold for no more than 30 cents a carton. What a great policy. You're lowering prices for people who need eggs. The next week, eggs had disappeared from supermarkets and still have not come back. I mean, they basically banned eggs from the culture.
Are you saying you want the Venezuelans to have cholesterol? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There you go. That's how they probably argued it there.
Eggs are not good for you. I love the egg thing, by the way, because first they were good for us. Then they were one of the worst things you could possibly eat.
Yeah.
And then they're good for you again. I'm not sure where they stand now. So
Jeffy?
Eggs.
Good for you or not good for you?
That. I mean, it's,
everything in moderation.
Thank you. That's the way we live our lives. It's the what it is. That's the fact of everything there is.
Except in moderation. In Venezuela, there's nothing in moderation.
However, I will say I did see a story that, yes, I mean, they are close to civil war. I would almost consider it civil war now, really. I mean, it is not pretty. And these sanctions, I should have brought, these sanctions do nothing but hurt the people more. I mean, I don't know.
That's what I'm concerned about.
I mean, how do we get around that and help the people? Well, because if we put sanctions on them, then some of what they claim, blaming the United States, is true.
I don't know. I mean, I understand your point there. But, I mean, the bottom line is, you're right. It does, at some level, hurt the people. Hurt the people from what? Getting garbage out of freaking bakery bags? I mean, they're already there. It's already to the bottom. The problem is these people, and as they discuss here, in the middle of that scene that I was talking about with people digging through garbage, there's luxury car dealerships, there's nice restaurants, and a lot of that's because the people who are corrupt have all the money.
Yeah.
And so you need to do something to push these people. I think not doing business with Venezuela is a good start. I don't know.
Let me get back to the eggs. I saw a story the other day about how the cholesterol thing is all wrong.
What do you mean?
You know how you're supposed to, the HDL is supposed to be
an LDL
good
or whatever,
and LDL is supposed to be bad. Uh-huh. But now they're saying that that might not be true because the people who are born with high HDL that they're saying is good still have the same problem that all the other people have that aren't born that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
We're making
absolutely
a lot of guesses.
Amazing.
The interesting part about this, I think, is that we all recognize the morons of the years in the past. These idiots who thought smoking was good for you. And these morons who thought, they didn't even wash their hands when they did surgeries. They're passing all these germs around. They didn't even understand. There's 1,000 things that exist today that we do that are just as dumb as those things. We just don't know what they are yet. And it's this weird idea that we look back at the past and say, wow, those people were so stupid. Luckily, we're really smart.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I mean, they weren't stupid back then. They just didn't have the information. And it's the same thing with us. We're not necessarily stupid. We just don't have the information. At some point, we will discover whatever the real answer is to the cholesterol thing, or the real answer is to heart disease, or the real answer is to autism, or the real answer. And then we'll look back and we'll be like, God, that was so stupid.
Those people were really stupid.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, we're here, so we all think we're smart. And that's what's so frustrating about the you know, this goes back to global warming, the discussion we had earlier. It's frustrating because, like, have some level of recognition that you're not infallible. Just realize that, you know what, maybe we shouldn't have these direct, like, we are 100%. Of course, the science has been settled, 100% chance that this, and this are happened. Yes, last time we said that, we got it wrong, but now we've learned. Mm-hmm. That's what they say every single time. And it's like, how can we possibly take you seriously?
Like the 200-degree temperature rise that went into the ocean. Wait, you didn't know about that?
Yeah.
How did you not know how the Earth functions?
Yeah.
Well, then why should we trust that you do now?
That was their excuse for the pause. They said,
the warmth oceans, went into the ocean,
yeah,
200
took
degrees.
More than we realized. If it didn't, it would be 200 degrees warmer right now. shouldn't you have known that before?
It's kind of weird.
I don't know.
All right. Hopefully things will never get to the point where they are in Venezuela here in the United States. But there can be certain, you know, interruptions in our food supply. There can be things that come up. There can be weather events that, you know, might mess up the reliable delivery of food to grocery stores so that you can go get all the food you want anytime you want.
Look, it might not happen in America. Who knows? It could. It has happened in the past in America. Could something like that go on? I mean, you know, it's probably not the number one possibility, but how great would this have been if you knew that this was coming in Venezuela and you had someone that you knew there and you sent them this box for My Patriot Supply? Think of the way that would change their life. They get through a 102 servings. You're talking about basically a month or more of survival food for only $99, and it's shipped free. I don't think they ship it to Venezuela for free, but they'll ship it to America for free. It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including great food items like, for example, there's new Southwest savory rice. It lasts up to 25 years in storage, and it's less than $1 per serving.
And let's face it, it's just plain yummy. It's really good food. You know, you don't have to eat sticks when an emergency arises. Not if you call My Patriot Supply today at 888-411-5290 or at preparewiththeblaze.com. That's 888-411-5290 or preparewiththeblaze.com. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Pat and Stu, 888-727-BAD.
Good to see you, Pat.
And, yeah.
Hey, good to see you too.
we don't feel the same. That's why we didn't say it.
Right.
We would have said it if
I'm standing right here. Yeah.
Okay, we got to go quickly here because the new French toasted donuts from IHOP are coming,
and I
want plenty of time to eat them on the air.
Well, they're warm too. Oh, yeah. Got to get them. Yes,
and again, this is not because we want them for our own selfish desires.
Right. Thank you.
This
Pat.
Is for you.
Oh yeah, this is absolutely
it's
for you.
Science.
I will say what a contrast between the last segment where people are digging through freaking garbage bags to get food. And what capitalism brings you, which is French toasted donuts.
We feel so bad about those people in Venezuela, too.
That's not what I was saying. Because, I mean, I do feel really bad for them. But this is the result of these policies. This isn't some brilliant thing that we came to. Would IHOP go to Venezuela? Yes, they're a freaking international house of pancakes. They'd be happy to be there. The issue is when you outlaw capitalism and you make it a complete disaster and you ruin your company or your country, there's no one there. There's no one there to buy the stuff. Here, luckily, we're fat and we'll buy it. This is an amazing story from James Kirchick from the LA Times. It's actually an op-ed. People should have fixed terms, left-wing author Naomi Klein recently told the BBC. Awarded jobs for life, most professional commentators, whether opining in newspaper columns like this one or blathering on television, suffer no consequence for making predictions that turn out spectacularly wrong. The socialist Klein's embrace of market forces, however selective, is welcome. Might I offer the unfolding horror in Venezuela as the first litmus test of her proposal? Here are some quotes from Naomi Klein on Venezuela. 2004, she signed a petition headlined, "We would vote for Hugo Chavez." 3 years later, she lauded Venezuela as a place where citizens had renewed their faith in the power of democracy to improve their lives.
Yep.
In her 2007 book, The Shock Doctrine, she portrayed capitalism as a sort of global conspiracy that instigates financial crises and exploits the poor countries in wake of natural disasters.
That's exactly right.
But Klein declared that Venezuela had been rendered immune to the shocks administered by free market fundamentalists thanks to Chavez's 21st century socialism, which had created a zone of relative economic calm and predictability.
Oh!
Chavez's untimely
death. She should live there.
She should. Chavez's untimely death from cancer in 2013 saw an outpouring of grief from the global left. He demonstrated that it is possible to resist the neoliberal dogma that holds sway over much of humanity, wrote British journalist Owen Jones. I mourn a great hero to the majority of his people, said Oliver Stone, who would go on to replace Chavez with Vladimir Putin as the object of his twisted affection. On and on and on and on. It's a great story in the LA Times. It's up on my Facebook page as well. As that kind of plays out, which is really, I mean, it is one of the great disasters. Between that and North Korea going on right now, kind of a couple of the great disasters of our times. Also in the Netherlands, which is not one of the great disasters of our times, but really has, first of all, is bordering on socialist, if not socialism light, and also is having made some decisions, and we've heard of them, and they don't hurt people, it's not a big deal, things like euthanasia. Euthanasia has become common practice now in the Netherlands, people requesting to die because of whatever condition they feel is bad enough that they can't live any longer. It was one of the first, it was actually the first country in the world that made it legal for doctors to help people die. Both euthanasia, where doctors actively kill patients, and assisted suicide, where physicians prescribe patients a lethal dose of drugs, are allowed.
So they're only killing the youth, not the middle-aged or the elderly?
I think I went on to explain what euthanasia is. I think that was part of the description of this.
I must have missed that part.
Okay, that's okay.
Sorry, I apologize.
People must be suffering unbearably with no hope of relief, but their condition does not have to be fatal. It's another big deal. Imagine that. You don't even have to be on the verge of death to get it in these places.
Yeah.
Now they're finding out the stats of this, and about one out of every 20 people who die in the Netherlands are victims of euthanasia.
One out of 20.
About 4.5% of all people who die in the country
are killed by doctors. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's
an incredible stat.
Sick.
Yeah. The review shows.
You wonder why we left that damn place, Europe, in the first place.
I know.
This is one of the reasons.
Well, we're bringing it home, aren't we?
Yeah, yes, well,
it's all coming.
And
here.
I was just thinking, some states are legalizing.
Oregon is,
right?
Definitely. They were the first one.
And there's another one.
Yeah, there's more than
two.
That now. Yeah,
there's several states, I think, that doctor-assisted suicide is okay. And I don't know what the conditions have to be. Like, there was that woman, she went through with it, right? She was 30. And she'd been diagnosed with something. Do you remember? I don't remember all the details, but she was like 30 years old. She was attractive. She was married. She just wanted to die because she wanted to do it on her terms. She was, I don't remember what she was diagnosed with, but I think she had, you know, she may have had years to live. She wasn't in pain yet, but she went.
And she had okayed it with her husband, right?
And that was, and he was apparently, he was with it.
According
and
to
they
this,
went to Oregon, and she was killed.
According to this, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, Washington, D.C.,
Montana?
California, Colorado.
Montana?
California, yeah. So here I have a map in front of me. I don't know if you have a, you have a list or a map, because there's two different distinctions here. So states with, they've actually had rulings or measures that have authorized physician-assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. That is Washington, Oregon, California, Montana, oddly, Vermont, you said Vermont, right? And and Washington, D.C.
Yes.
States where the practice is not legal, but that lack statutes explicitly banning it. That you have Nevada, Colorado, Wyoming, North Carolina, and West Virginia.
Jeez. I mean, that's unbelievable.
And then every other state is, it is explicitly
illegal. Yeah.
Illegal.
Unbelievable.
Now, is it possible to commit suicide by French toasted donut?
Well,
does anyone know?
I say we give it a try.
I mean, I don't think there's a downside necessarily. How long is our...
What a way to go.
Yeah.
If that's what kills you, what a way to go.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side with a new offering from IHOP. Our close friends at IHOP, who have such a close relationship with us that
they allowed us to buy their food.
The products and bring them back here to eat them on television.
But because we mentioned our names, they gave it to us at the same price as everybody
they
else.
Yeah, they increased it.
So that was nice.
Better than we do with most companies.
Yeah, that was really good. This might be the greatest day in world history.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the greatest day in world history. There's no might about it.
Wow.
It is the greatest day in world history. We have French toast donuts.
Look at this.
Yes. French toasted donuts, brand new from IHOP. Now,
I mean, what?
You might think to yourself, what is a French toasted donut? And
this.
I actually don't have the answer for you. It does seem like it's French toast. I don't know what the difference between this and French toast is, though.
Does that look delicious, though?
It does look delicious.
Or what?
So that we have three kinds of French toasted donuts to sample today.
Yeah.
We have strawberry. We have apple fritter.
All right.
Which is here.
And we have the bacon, which he can't even touch.
No, that one's not for me.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's too bad.
Maple bacon.
Maple bacon.
Maple bacon. Now, of course,
donut,
it also comes
French
with
oh my gosh.
IHOP and go old-fashioned pancake syrup, which the old-fashioned way was, of course,
this is unreal.
The first two ingredients have always been corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup.
That's
always been.
That is why I buy.
That's the old timey way.
Real maple syrup. That's kind of the real old fashioned way. Right?
I will say also there is some extra special good news for those of you watching at home.
Yes.
We're doing this for science here.
Yes.
You're able to go to IHOP anytime, but if you go there on Friday, the new French toast donuts are free.
Wow! Really?
What?
Free?
This is what the story says. I just looked at the headline.
Wow,
that's good, a good investigation. I just looked at the headline.
That's right. Thank you.
Here is
you want to try
fritter?
The apple fritter first?
Apple fritter first.
Okay, here we go.
I'm interested to see what the difference between this and normal French toast is.
Look at this.
I don't know, man, but that's delicious.
Look at that. A nice little close-up there before I take my big bite. You got the little cinnamon. You got a cinnamon swirl, it looks like, kind of in there.
Delicious.
Got the apples on that side. Let's give it a whirl.
So instead of bread, it's like dough.
Just cake.
Right? And then they dip it in the French toast batter because it does taste like French toast to me.
The
this just
cake.
Tastes like delicious French toast.
Mm.
And I'm loving it.
You're
not loving it?
They had a croissant thing. Did we talk about the croissant thing? We do that on the air? They had a croissant. What was it? It was something made with. It was a waffle made with croissant dough. So if you think about, like, instead of putting
waffle. Did we do that here?
No, I ate it. I ate it at waffle.
No, we didn't.
So I think it might have been around the holidays. So they take. If you think about that, you take the croissant dough. You put it in a waffle press, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get a waffle out of it. I would say this is the same approach. What I think they've done here is they've taken donut materials and prepared
just
them
the
like
dough.
French toast.
Yeah, and just dipped it in the
donuts.
Egg batter.
Yeah.
The custard batter, and then fry them up like French toast. It's really good. I mean, that's delicious.
Yeah, I mean, you could see.
Did you not like it? You don't seem like you're terribly impressed.
I'm more in analyst mode right now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
I'm just hungry.
Me too.
And this is fantastic.
Oh,
I mean, it's good.
I really liked it.
It's
I liked
good.
It more than I thought I would.
Really?
Yeah.
You can put
All right, let's do the strawberry one,
on
too, since you can't eat the other one.
Yep, strawberry one next. And the maple bacon one, I would say, might be the highlight of this whole thing.
It may be. You know. It may well be.
I'm going to try it without the actual...
I'm going to give the apple fritter a 16. That was really... maybe higher than that.
Yeah. There's something weird about the apple that I'm not as in love with.
You didn't like it?
I thought it was
really
10.
Good.
A 10?
What?
I know you didn't like it. What's the matter with you?
It's an okay rating. I mean,
10's not good. That's
10 is a midway rating. It's an okay. It's not like when I go to if I go to IHOP, I'm not ordering that. I'm going to order something else on the menu. And I love IHOP. I go there all the time.
Just a second. I'm getting a text from IHOP. They're saying you're not welcome at their stores.
Not surprised you're texting with IHOP.
What did you give the apple fritter one?
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, that's up in the high teens.
It's easy as 16,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Easily.
At least.
And this strawberry one.
That's a big disagreement.
Is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
You don't like it either? What the hell is going on here?
What's wrong with you?
What has happened to Stuper Gear? Who are you?
That is the question right
Who
there.
Who are you? And what have you done with Stu?
Is the question, Pat.
Right?
I got to say,
it's crazy, man.
Huge supporter of IHOP's. Big supporter.
I am too. I really like IHOP.
It's Zach's favorite place, my son. So we do a pancake time on Saturdays where we go out and eat breakfast together. Mm-hmm. And we rotate who gets to choose. So it's Zach, Ainsley.
This is really good, too.
And then me. Mm-hmm. Every time it comes to Zach, he picks IHOP. He loves IHOP. We go there all the time.
It is good.
Teresa, the manager, and one of the local IHOP.
She's a big fan.
She watches the show. She's awesome.
I've met her.
Very, very cool. So,
as you can imagine.
We're in there. I don't know if she actually listens to the show. I just know that we know her better than most of our family. I would say, like...
It's really good.
With the strawberry on it, it's good. Like, but I think I would choose something else if I went to IHOP for both of these.
Okay, and you give that one a 10 as well? Or less? You don't even like it.
Oh, my God.
I got to say,
I'm about to stab you with a fork.
I think I'm going to stab you as well.
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
Isn't there something funky about the fruit or something?
Not at all, man.
Something funky about you.
That's a 17 right there. I'm giving that a 17.
I give it a 10 again.
Holy cow.
I honestly might even drop it more.
Jeffy?
I'm trying to think about...
What is wrong with you?
These are delicious.
They're very edible.
They're more than edible.
They're more than edible.
They're delicious.
Why are you angry at me?
Gosh.
I
haven't
seen my review of food.
You're pissing me off.
I can't believe you don't like it.
If we like it, so must you. All right.
I mean, look, it's not a terrible... You know, a 10.
Don't try to back out of it.
No, I'm saying a 10 is not a terrible rating. It's not a 2.
When it comes to these, it is. That's an awful rating.
All right, well, let's finish it up. Maybe you guys are going to have the
Or would you go 17 on
Absolutely.
These?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Okay. The question is, before we do this, we have a 16 and a 17. Do we get an 18 perfect rating out of the maple bacon? I feel like there's a good chance. If you got a 16 and 17
chance.
On the base,
yeah.
Now you're topping it with bacon,
yeah.
Good chance that Pat and Jeffy get to an 18 here. Let's see
is
how
there,
it goes.
Is there a single product that doesn't taste better
with bacon.
Bacon added to it? I mean,
it's been questioned.
I will
Gaffigan
say this.
Says no.
When they do bacon milkshakes, I don't dig that very much.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people like that kind of stuff, but I don't. But this
here we go.
Is the perfect bacon vehicle.
Oh, my God. Oh, Stu, you gotta try it.
Oh, man.
Bacon or no bacon, you gotta try it.
Oh.
Come on.
This you would like. Go ahead and take a big healthy bite of that.
Yeah, you gotta take a bite of it.
Is that just whipped cream they gave
you? Yes.
Little thing of whipped cream?
Yeah, it's weird.
I would have liked, how come we didn't get whipped cream? Because whipped cream would have been even another added bonus.
Some right here. There's not a lot in there, but you have some.
After you put your nasty fork in there?
Okay, it's French toast, donut, and the donut, it's got a cream filling here. Can you get a close-up?
Oh, wow, that's a big thing.
It got a cream filling and bacon!
I know.
And bacon!
You put syrup on these? I'm dipping mine in syrup.
Are you kidding me?
Have you poured syrup on it, Pat, or are you dipping?
This is an 18 product.
Wow, an 18!
It's an 18.
That's
product.
A perfect score in case you don't understand the scoring process, which is normal.
And all three on a plate like this?
Crazy.
It's a total 18.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what we're doing. We're not rating them as
a group.
I just did.
And yeah, but the way you've treated it?
I'm disgusted with you.
I am too.
Why?
You're despicable.
You know what, Pat? You're right.
I'm about to call the authorities and have him arrested.
There's something about the fruit I don't like. I don't know.
If you keep saying it, a high crime and misdemeanor today.
It's like sour.
You're a traitor to the country.
Am I?
You're a bad person.
I mean, really, that is not.
You're evil.
I'm lowering it. I want an 8. I'm going to give it an 8. Both of them an 8. From a 10 to an 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What have you.
You know, you did the story on euthanasia. Monday, we'll be doing a story on stews in Asia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's valid, Jevy.
That's not valid. They're okay. Look, encourage you to go to IHOP and try these? Yeah, do it. Give it a whirl. Pat thinks it's an 18. Jeffy.
Boy, what a sales job that is, huh, from you.
I'm not here to sell IHOP products. I'm here to give honest reviews.
Honestly, I demand that you do that and then tell us which of us are right. Is it me and Jeffy?
I'm surprised. I will say, I thought I was going to love them. And they're just okay.
Maybe that's the deal. My expectations were a little bit lower. Because
French toasted donuts? Why would your...
How could your expectation be low?
It is IHOP. I mean, it's not the most quality place.
I love it.
What?
But,
they have good food. I like it, but it's not...
You're sitting too close to Stu. Get away from over there right now.
you're not like...
It's not
some
7
fancy
Mile.
Place,
there's
right.
a place here that's kind of a good little
IHOP
chain.
I think IHOP is better than that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is.
Let me try with a little syrup.
But that doesn't surprise me that you said that because you're like...
Bougie sauce.
Right. Yeah.
Why are they putting milk on this? That's what I want.
It's an 18. An 18.
Or an 8. Imran Awan.
Are we talking about Imran Awan again?
Yeah, Imran Awan.
You know that nobody has spent enough time with this guy.
Yeah.
We need to correct that because this is an amazing story.
Last night kind of started that process, going through the timeline of events with this Pakistani guy who was doing the IT for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's crazy. Watch.
Here's where it goes really dark. 2016, WikiLeaks releases all of the documents from the DNC. Who's the head of the DNC? At the time, it's Debbie Wasserman Schultz, remember, who she hired for IT. Soon as this goes big, within hours, days, they begin to liquidate everything they can. These people start to sell their houses to each other. I don't even understand how that works.
It's a really bizarre web. And when you start to read it and, you know, so-and-so sold to so-and-so for $216,000 and then this guy sold to this guy. And I were talking,
could be a money thing where you sell to each other and inflate the prices in order to drain as much out if you know what you're all going to default on your loans anyways. Keep inflating it, take the extra cash.
They went to the bank, got the loans to buy the house from each other, and then just never planned to pay the bank back.
They made money off of it.
Okay, so by the way, the bank is your bank. This is the credit union at the Capitol. This literally is the Bank of Congress. So that happens. Then there's a wire transfer of $283,000. He makes this, Awan makes this. He calls the credit union, says, he doesn't call. His wife calls. Hello, yes. I'm the wife of a... Imran Awan. I need to transfer $283,000 to Pakistan for a funeral. That's one kick-ass funeral. The credit union says, can't do that.
Oh, hang on just a sec, I need to talk to my husband.
Oh, my wife was being silly. No, we wanted to buy some property. The federal credit union says, oh, well, we can do that.
I told you.
I know, get back into your slave quarters.
This happens. She then flees because all of a sudden the Capitol Police say there's something criminal happening here. There's really bad stuff happening. They are forbidden from the House servers, but nobody fires them. Nobody fires them.
No, they get fired, but Imran, he doesn't. He stays on an advisory capacity.
Right, but everybody else is leaving. Here's where it gets dangerous. His wife goes to Pakistan, takes $12,000, and the kids. She's now under the protection of the Pakistani government.
Only $12,000 after making all that cash.
Yeah. Well, she's got the funeral money.
Oh, yeah.
Then this representative from California, he fires Abid. But shortly after he fires, he sends a letter to John Kelly from the Department of Homeland Security that says, I have a warning. I think there's something funny going on with the IT department, and it's going to affect Mar-a-Lago. That's the timeline. What it means, we don't know. But let me bring in somebody who has been following it, Luke Rosiak from the Daily Caller. Luke, A, have I missed anything in that timeline?
That's a pretty good recounting of it.
Okay. Have you come to any conclusions on this? On what is really happening?
Well, members of Congress were paying for 10 years people that they probably would or should have had reason to believe weren't doing the work. And as IT guys, they had access to all the emails and files of these members. So we don't know, but given those patterns, and especially given members' reactions after these guys were named as criminal suspects, and even after some of them fled the country, the continued defense of them and some of the weird relationships, Politico has said that they have a friendly personal relationship with a couple of members of Congress, which is pretty weird for the IT guys. What was going on with these guys? Why were the members so insistent on paying them, defending them, protecting them? It's very legitimate to wonder, were they using members' own data against them? Were they using even the unspoken thread of releasing whatever embarrassing emails? And it doesn't have to be evidence of anything terrible or a crime. All of our emails, any person's emails, probably got some embarrassing stuff in there, especially if you're a politician. So, you know, there's the threat of blackmail, essentially, that could be causing members to act this way.
Okay, so they also had access to the head of the DNC, members of
the Foreign Affairs Committee,
members of the Intelligence Committee, Homeland Security, and the House Democratic Caucus. There is potentially huge secrets in that email.
Well, they work for members, luckily, not committees themselves. I don't particularly think or have reason to believe that they had access to committee documents. As far as I'm concerned, that's not necessary for this to be really bad. Again, there's the blackmail potential. And, you know, again, there are connections to Pakistan. They spent significant periods of time there in Pakistan. You've got the connection to the Iraqi guy. But the other option is that this is a kickback scheme. So that's the reason, you know, and that's something that investigators should look into, is with these inflated salaries for oftentimes no-show employees. Did this begin, or was this always in part a kickback scheme where certain members of Congress were paying out inflated salaries and taxpayer funds so that they could get the majority of that back from these guys in cash?
Wow. Luke, does this, your gut, does it tell you that this is a kickback scheme where Congress is going to go to jail and these guys were kind of, in a way, hapless dupes? I mean, they were in on it, obviously, but that Congress was running a scheme between them. Does it tell you that you think these guys had some blackmail type dirt on Congress and they were just milking the system? Or do you think this is a foreign power coming in and corrupting much of the DNC?
You know, I've spent the last 6 months investigating these guys. And when some people try to say this is a mortgage fraud issue, I mean, anyone who spends 5 minutes looking at the facts realizes these guys were being surveilled by the FBI as part of a long-running cybersecurity and theft investigation into their activities on Capitol Hill. These guys are chronic liars who would seem to have done anything for money. I've talked to a dozen people.
Wait, are you talking about the IT people? How do you keep those separate?
My sense, and I don't want to speculate, I've worked really hard to stick to the facts here, and I haven't necessarily gotten a lot of credit from that from the New York Times and the larger papers, but my work really is factually solid. So I don't want to speculate, but
good for you.
My sense is that these guys are motivated by money rather than ideology, but that members of Congress also would have or should have known that something was up. And I think that there's a very real possibility that members, very highly unusual reactions throughout this whole thing, not just since they've been known criminal suspects, but for the last decade, there could be a financial component there where members of Congress are involved.
How much more information do you need to find before you believe the WikiLeaks leak dossier came from these sources?
Well, I've been clear consistently that I don't think he took that. You know, he did have access to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's iPad. Some of the top people at the DNC did appear to be familiar with Imran. If you search his name on WikiLeaks, he does come up. But the WikiLeaks were released from, I think, like 5 accounts. And by having Wasserman Schultz's iPad, that would have only been 1 account. Okay. So I think what you see here is sloppiness when it comes to cybersecurity from Wasserman Schultz, even after she had reason to have real concerns. She's not doing the proper reaction, the proper safeguards. And it's real sloppy, and it puts our nation at risk.
The media covering this, last question, are they not covering it because it's a complex story? Or are they not covering it because they have some political agenda that they don't want to open a can of worms on?
I think there's elements of this that they have omitted in a way that's almost journalistic malpractice. For example, right around the time that these guys faced criminal charges, just before it, I think, a civil suit was launched against them in Virginia by their own stepmother. And their stepmother says that they had this money hidden over in Pakistan, and that they were basically extorting her and threatening to kidnap her loved ones if she didn't cooperate, and that they were using listening devices in her house and attached to her computer in order to control her movements. And the goal was to get her to sign this Pakistani power of attorney that would give access to all this money over in Pakistan. So this is a public court document that anyone can read, but the mainstream papers have omitted this very relevant ongoing civil litigation.
Luke, I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate, in a time when everybody is jumping to conclusions and jumping to prosecute before even the facts are out or people even understand, I appreciate the fact that you have been so neutral on this and diligent and bringing us up to speed on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Need more journalists like that, quite honestly, that actually do it and are not trying to tell you anything other than the facts.